we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on the MSG Networks. I'm Bob Pauper. Over the next hour, we will get you set for the Giants and Dallas Cowboys with the 10 things you need to know. I've got my Hall of Fame linebacker, Harry Carson, two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks, and the guy who runs the protection for us, Roman Oben. Let's take a look at what we have coming up tap for you on the program this week. Of course, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin will sit in studio and chat with us. The Blitz, you don't want to miss some pretty cool questions this week that we'll debate. Giants quarterback Eli Manning will join us in studio, and we'll look back at the Giants-Cowboys rivalry. But it's time to put item number one up on the board. We call this our no huddle. So what we've done is 25 seconds go on the clock. Harry Carson, we get a chance to start with you. And
do I still get just 25 seconds?
You get 25 seconds, give or take a little. Missed opportunities is your focus this week.
You know, all of us have played the game. We know that when you have an opportunity to win a football game, you really have to seize upon it. You know, 2 weeks ago, the Giants were beaten in the second half by the Seattle Seahawks. Last week, I wanted to see a better effort by the defense. We did get that better effort. But offensively, five turnovers, you cannot do five turnovers. Now, I know it really is a moot point, but you have to take advantage of every opportunity that you have. And, you know, there's a big difference between losing a football game and being beaten. And last week, they lost the football game.
And you can't commit penalties, and you went well over. So that's a false start. So we already started the show off on a bad note. Carl, 25 seconds on the clock for you. You like to play golf. Keep swinging.
You got to keep swinging. And to Harry's point on opportunities, there's a new opportunity this week. It's a divisional game. It's a rivalry. Keep swinging. They did a lot of good things. They just got to keep swinging until they get it right.
All right. That's a good teammate. He came in under time for you. Roman, 25 seconds on the clock for you, and you feel that the Giants need to attack.
Yeah, and the most compelling thing Coach Coughlin said to me this week was that he's got to get guys ready to play every week. And people are talking about playing with pride and next year and all the stuff that outside of this building. But a team that attacks goes for an offside kick. The defense is stingy. Offenses can run the ball better. That's attack mode, and that's what they're going to have to do. And it's Dallas week.
All right. You guys have dealt with losing streaks throughout the course of your career, some worse than others. Mm-hmm. Harry, obviously some of the teams you were on in the 70s, we know. How do you individually take it upon yourself to try to fix things?
You know, quite frankly, it is about your sense of pride. When you go out there and you show what you can do, it reflects on you. If you go out there and you stink up the place, it reflects on you. And I think what these guys have to do individually, just make up their own mind that they're just going to go out and play their hearts out and leave it all out on the football field.
Do you get down?
Oh, you do. But like Harry said, it's a reflection of you. So be a part of the solution. Don't be a part of the problem.
Yeah, and that fight motif that Antoine Roll said a couple of weeks ago, I mean, that's true. I mean, I know that's a defensive mentality. You got to go attack and fight, but you've got to make sure that you're doing your job, not trying to do too much, and just being a part of the solution and not the problem.
All right, we are just getting started here on the program. A lot of Giants programming comes your way each and every week, not only here on MSG, but on My9 as we take a look at the weekly schedule for you. Friday night's Giants First and 10 debuts at 5 p.m. on MSG+. Saturday, you can see Giants Access Blue at 11 p.m. on My9. Sunday, Giants Chronicles at 10 a.m. on MSG. This week, Giants Chronicles Spotlight on Lawrence Taylor. Giants postgame live following the Giants and Dallas Cowboys on My9. Tuesday, it's Giants Rewind at 6 p.m. on MSG+. And then we get the week started with Giants Press Conference live on Wednesday at 11 a.m. on MSG. We're going to take a time out here on the program. When we come back, the head coach of the Giants, Tom Coughlin, joins us as we continue with Giants First and 10. Welcome back to Giants First and 10. We get you set for the Giants and Cowboys on Sunday night. Item number two goes up on the board, and we're joined, as always, by head coach Tom Coughlin. And, Coach, a unique challenge this week. You got the Dallas Cowboys, second time this year, and pretty obvious. You've got to stop that running game.
Got to stop the running game. They have an outstanding running game, which allows them to control the ball, which allows them to win time of possession, which allows them to keep the defense on the sideline. So it all works together very well.
So many things that could be taken from last week as positive, some improvement in a lot of areas. Where are you emphasizing now how to put that together and then add on the components for victory?
Well, the first thing, we're back to wanting all three phases to work together in harmony. We thought special teams and defense did their job. Offensively, of course, you're not going to win when you turn the ball over like we did. But to be in position at the four-yard line to win the game, somehow, some way, we got to step up and win the game. You know, we had a run called on the first play. They had seven or eight in the box, so we checked out of that and threw the ball. And we were living, quite frankly, we were four or five in the green zone in the league based on a lot of the things you saw, the jump ball to Larry Donnell, et cetera, but weren't able to get that done. So what we've got to do, obviously, is play better on offense. We've got to look at the circumstance that our defense went through the week before. Their pride was challenged. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a very bad football game. They focused better. They concentrated in their jog-throughs. They did everything a better way. It wasn't a real easy week for them. They had things. They had the dive option. They had the read option. They had the quarterback on the perimeter. We had late in the week, we introduced a series of unbalanced line possibilities, and so there was even more mental gymnastics going on. But they came through it well. And, we gave up 148 or 9 yards rushing, but we were there. We put ourselves in position to win the game. We did get the ball on the ground, which we talked about. We had not recovered those fumbles in Seattle, and we had to be able to do that. So now we challenge the offensive team, the same kind of thing. Your backs are to the wall. You know, your pride is on the line. We didn't rush the ball very well. We didn't give ourselves any balance at all. You know, people just put their ears back and rushed the passer. They did whatever they had to do because they weren't afraid of the run. Well, obviously now we've got to do something about that.
Coach, because of Eli's experience and everything that he's been through as a player, does it help you kind of help get that message across to everybody else because he understands what needs to be done and coaching his teammates up a little?
Well, he knows what has to be done. I'm sure, going to take care of his job first and foremost. But, it's a whole football team. It's a whole experience for an offensive team. To be more physical up front, to do the things that we have to do in order to not turn the ball over. We had a couple of really bad ones that looked as if, you know, we had lost sight of where people were in the underneath coverage. We've got to eliminate that. But Eli, and I believe he will bounce right back like he's done so many times.
Last question, Coach. Still in the division, facing your only second time for an opponent, is that as big a factor as, you know, staying relevant within the division as it is being just better football?
Well, it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
It's in the division. It's at home. It's all the things that you play for. I wish it was we had more wins so that we could call it, you know, some type of a real priority for everybody. But for us, it is. It's critical that we win a game in the division, win a game at home. We've made a little bit of progress in the last couple of weeks. We really need to do something about it come Sunday night.
All right, Coach, we appreciate a couple minutes. I hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving as well.
Thanks, Bob. Same to all of you.
All right, that's New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin joining us on the program. Now to get into the nitty-gritty, the X's and O's, is Carl Banks gives you strategy.
The Dallas Cowboys offense all revolves around a very potent run game. DeMarco Murray is their workhorse. It's very important for the second-level defenders to really play their reads. And when I say play their reads, linebackers have to look at formation. Here you'll see fullback, running back. All indication says that this linebacker, your backside linebacker. Now, there's a counter step, and now he's back. The linebacker cannot commit to shooting this gap. He must be a counter-step player as well so that he can scrape over and make the play. But he runs the gap. Murray is following his blocker out there, and he eliminates himself from the play. If you take a chance, it's designed to get you blocked. Okay, now let's take a look at the Dallas Cowboy defense. They like to put a lot of guys at the line of scrimmage, show blitz, and drop some guys back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 potential seventh guy. The offense has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, possible seven. But the key here is communicating who has which side of the line of scrimmage so that you don't get caught up in twist. Now, I'm going to play this in slow motion. So you get one guy, I'll freeze it. One guy drops out now. I'll continue to advance it. Another guy drops out. So now they've got a man for a man. All they have to do is block it up. Looks like they had it right, but nobody made a block. Quarterback is sacked. So once you identify where the rushers are coming from, that's half the battle. The other half is making sure that you get good blocks so that your quarterback can make a throw.
That was Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. PSE&G, we make things work for you. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back on the program, we'll send Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room. We'll hear from Antrell Roll as we continue with Giants first and 10 here on MSG after this.
They've always had a great defensive front in New York. They spend a lot of resources on it. And some of the faces are new. Ayers is a new face, but he's certainly showing up. And I think he has the most sacks on their team. He's just a very active player. And he affects the quarterback a lot of different ways. And he's been very productive for them.
Jason Garrett, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And correct, Robert Ayers with 5 sacks this year. Last year, he had a career-high 5.5 sacks, so he could set a new individual record. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, Giants and Cowboys on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Each and every week, I like to go into the locker room, and we get Paul Dottino to do the reporting for us, and he joins us here on the program. Item number 4 goes up on the board. The big three of the Dallas Cowboys, always a problem for a team's defense.
Yeah, no question, Bob. In fact, because of those guys, the Cowboys are in the top 10 in almost every key offensive category. Giants have been a little sporadic on defense, so they know the best way to attack this Dallas O is by taking it one step at a time.
Romo's a guy who loves to extend the pocket. You know, he's very athletic. You know, he knows how to make guys miss, and he throws very well on the move. So, you know, you have to stay disciplined, stay in your coverage, and you know, play to the whistle's blown.
First thing that you have to keep in mind is that it all starts with a run. You know, and for us, we got to stop the run game. Past 2 weeks, we haven't done that. And so, you know, we stop the run game, then we limit it to 2. You know, and then you try to deal with, you know, really 3. You try to Romo and Witten and Dez, and you know, they got a lot of talent. But you know, the first thing you have to do is try to make them one-dimensional. It's hard because they're very good at a lot of things that they do. But if you can go through the checklist and check at least one off, then you limit them.
Now, while it's true that Dez Bryant had one of his 3 100-yard receiving games this year against the Giants in October, Carl, it was Gavin Escobar who had the 2 touchdown catches that really was a thorn in the Giants' side. So you can't ignore those other guys.
Well, you cannot. And I think both of those players said it best. You got to contend with the run first and then go down the checklist, because if you don't stop the run, it brings into play every other offensive option. So stop the run, then you can start to hone in on who their key receivers are.
Yeah, and in terms of DeMarco Murray, as you guys know, he's averaging now about 24 touches a game versus the 30 he did in the first half of the season. So I expect this Cowboys offense to do everything that they're capable of doing because of Linehan and Bill Callahan. They can air it out, they can spread it out, but they can also be selective in when they choose to run the ball. So whatever personnel is out there, they've got to be ready to do everything.
And the Giants have to be alert, too. Murray's put it on the ground. He's fumbled the ball 5 times this year. He's lost all 5 of those fumbles. All right, item number 5 goes up on the board, Paul. We flip things around and talk about the Giants offensively and trying to get a running game going.
Yeah, that running game has really been an issue. Sporadic throughout the course of the year. The last 2 weeks, the Giants have actually run the ball for less than 70 yards in a game. They say it's all about cleaning up their execution.
It's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is. I mean, yes, there are a little bit of mental mistakes here and there, but ultimately, like I said, it's the details. You know, it's just, you know, stepping the wrong way, or, you know, not getting in front of the guy the way that we need to, or, you know, not coming off physically enough. There's a lot of little things that we can say, and you point the finger at whatever you want to, but ultimately, we have to go out there and just execute our job, and that boils down to details.
We got to come off the ball and hit them in the mouth. I mean, that's the goal as an offensive line, create holes for our running backs, and we just got to come off the ball.
When there have been inconsistencies in the run game, when you look at the films, is it more not winning one-on-one battles? Is it more MEs? Is it more what the other teams are doing? Have you guys been able to pinpoint what you need to clean up?
Yeah. I mean, as an O-line, we know what we're working on every day and what we come to work to do. And, you know, we're getting better at every week. And we got to come off together, like I said earlier, and come off the ball hard, work together, make be on the same page.
I think the big thing this week is, you know, they do a lot of stuff with their defensive lines, you know, picks, stunts, you know, twists, that kind of stuff. So I think that's going to be the key this week, you know, being able to, you know, execute that, pass that off, and, you know, up front, I think that's going to be the key.
Now, when the Giants try to run, they usually go between the tackles. But, Roman, the weakness of the Dallas rush defense is on the edges. So what do you do?
Well, I think it's comforting for me to see a tight end and a fullback and an offensive line talk about the running game because it takes everybody. Mm-hmm. And number one, it just starts with an attitude. You got to put a hat on a hat and want to beat your guy at the point of attack. And you expect Jennings to play better this week than last week coming off the injury.
Attention to detail. I think that's what it really comes down to. Depending on what play it is, there's a guy that steps the wrong way or that doesn't get to the second level. So they've just got to focus on detail. It doesn't really matter where the weaknesses are in Dallas. They've got to create their own strengths.
All right, Paul, good stuff. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Bob.
All right, that's Paul Dottino inside the Giants locker room. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, the Blitz with Anita Marks as we continue with Giants first and 10 here on MSG.
This year we have Walter Thurman from the New York Giants and Rashad Jennings handing stuff out. Let's give them a round of applause.
We're at the community center at the Polo Grounds, partnering with the Rosemar Group to feed 500 families today for Thanksgiving.
It's a humbling experience to be able to give, and it's a rewarding to see the smiles on people's faces.
Well, the guys giving back to the community with Thanksgiving coming up this week. We want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving as we welcome you back to Giants First and 10. Still to come here on the program, we'll be joined in studio by quarterback Eli Manning. You don't want to miss that. We'll have our online segment. We'll look at the Giants-Cowboys rivalry, and we'll have our Big Blue Challenge. But now it's time for this week's edition of The Blitz as we put item number 6 up on the board. To moderate the Blitz, once again, we welcome in Anita Marks. Anita?
Thank you. Thank you. All right, here we go. We've got 3 great questions on tap for today. So first, we kick it off with, what is the best quarterback-quarterback rivalry in the history of the NFL? 60 seconds on the clock and discuss.
For me, when you talk history, there are some great ones. And I like the Bradshaw-Staubach. That's a real throwback, but that was a great matchup.
I don't know. I think I'm a little bit too young to go, you know, way back to Unitas and Roger Staubach. And, you know, those guys, you know, they played great back during the 60s and early 70s. I don't know. Maybe Terry Bradshaw, Ken Stabler.
Nice.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Bradshaw, Stabler with those great games between the Raiders and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You mentioned Bradshaw and Staubach meeting in the Super Bowl. You know, those two teams were in 9 Super Bowls in the 70s.
Yeah. I guess they owned the 70s.
I mean, another one that you have to consider is Brady Manning.
That is the greatest modern-day rivalry. Can you pick any other two quarterbacks that rival than those two?
All right, here we go. Question number 2. What is the greatest special teams trick play in Giants history? Another 60 seconds on the clock. And
well,
Harry, you
discuss. I think that I'm probably a little biased because I was a part of it.
Uh-oh. But
going back to the 86 season against Philadelphia, fake field goal by Jeff Rutledge to myself. But I think there are probably others. Like Mr. Banks.
Well, you were the J.J. Watt of your time.
The one that's Indiana
Annals. Wait a second. You had one, too, against the Eagles.
Yes,
in
I
1990?
Had one against the Eagles, yes.
So you both had touchdown catches against the Eagles.
The greatest call in special teams history.
With the
one
Giants.
Word. Arapahoe.
What is Arapahoe?
A run, a pass, a hit on the enemy. Ooh. That is a special teams play put in by Romeo Crennel and Mike Swetman, Arapahoe. It meant a lot of things. It could be a run or a pass.
I like that. That's going to turn
enemy.
Into a hashtag.
Well, and it was used in the NFC Championship game in 1990 with the fake punt and Gary Reasons running with it. Howard Cross didn't even know the play was called. I think they were running right
Arapahoe.
By
Arapahoe.
All right, here we go. Question number 3. Tony Romo, DeMarco Murray, and Dez Bryant are arguably the best quarterback, running back, wide receiver trio in the NFL this year. Here's your question. what was the greatest in NFL history? Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, 60 seconds on the clock. Who wants to start?
Steelers.
You know, there are a couple, I think. You have Troy Aikman.
Smith and Irving.
Yeah, Smith and Irving. And they had a pretty good tight
end. Is that your?
No, I'm going to go with Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Lynn Swann, and John Stallworth.
That's four.
Counts.
That's greatness. That's what that
that's
is.
First three are Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Hall of Famers. Staubach, Dorsett, Pearson was pretty good.
Yeah.
How about this one? How about Unitas, Lenny Moore, and Raymond Berry? If you go, I never saw him play.
There's so many great trials.
How about, well, we didn't talk about Montana, Craig, and Rice slash Taylor.
There.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to go there. Montana, Craig, Rice slash Taylor.
Okay, but who's,
who's the best? The Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion, were the best.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
4-0 in the
Super Bowl. It was that steel curtain time, too, right?
Yeah. All right, Anita, good stuff. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
Thank you.
Us here at Giants.
That's Anita with the Blitz. Let's take a look at Giants First and 10 programming throughout the course of the weekend here on the MSG Networks. And it all gets underway Fridays at 5 p.m. on MSG+. 10:30 this week on MSG. You can see it again Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on MSG and at 11 a.m. on MSG+. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. on MSG+, and then at 10:30 on MSG on Sunday morning, right after the LT Giants Chronicles. We're going to take a timeout when we come back here on the program. Quarterback Eli Manning joins us in studio here on Giants First and 10. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG as we get you set for the Giants and Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. Well, the Giants trying to get back in the win column. Who do they turn for leadership? Their quarterback, Eli Manning.
I think when you play for a great organization like the New York Giants, that you take pride in the history of the organization. All the great players, all the great games that have been played. We take pride in the way that we prepare and play, and also in the organization that we play for.
Play fake, Manning to throw with time, throws the seam, he's got Danielle over the middle, touchdown Giants.
Manning back to throw. He's gonna run it, and Eli's gonna walk in for the touchdown. And Eli Manning runs it in from a yard out.
The resiliency, that's what you talk about. When everything's not going to be perfect, just keep swinging. That's what Eli's doing right now.
All right, item number 7 goes up on the board, and we're joined by Giants quarterback Eli Manning, who takes a couple minutes to join us. And Eli, Dallas Cowboys, it's got to get the juices flowing.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always fun to play the Cowboys, and they're a great team. We've had such great matches over the years. You know, a couple playoff wins versus them, a couple, last game of the season, winner goes to the playoffs. So it's what you're going to get. You're going to get a tough team. But these games always seem to come down to the fourth quarter and a wild finish. And so, looking forward to playing a good team and getting a win.
Obviously, this hasn't been a perfect season. It's been imperfect. But through all of that, you are able to find, or this team has been able to find, the development of some positions and some players. You have tight end that's developed, running back new. You've got a new wide receiver who had to step in, and Reuben Randle's a guy that's getting better each week. Is that what it's going to take to get the team back on track, that improvement, and then some?
Yeah, I've been really proud of some of our young guys stepping up and seeing their improvement. And we had a lot of question marks at the beginning of the year at some positions that have been answered. Tight end obviously has been answered with Larry Donnell, a guy who's come through the practice squad and worked himself into this role, and he's playing at a high level, and he's making a lot of big time plays, and you see his athletic ability. There's things that young guys, first time playing experience, that he needs to improve on and get better, but you definitely see the potential. Odell Beckham, the same deal, making a lot of big plays. He works hard in practice, always things we can improve on because he's young and getting better to tweak some things. But excited about some of these young players we have. Andre Williams, another running back who's got a lot of reps, but we need them to start raising their level of play, all of us raising our level of play to perform at our highest level and get a win.
You know, early in your career, you had an elderly group of receivers, Plaques, Toome, guys like that. Now, the last few years, you've had a lot of younger guys. You talked about Donnell, a different tight end every year, younger core of players. How is that preparation, just from a leadership standpoint as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of my job each week to get with these guys and make sure they understand the game plan. In the film room, I say, hey, I'm not doing this to torture you. I'm just trying to get you touchdowns. So yeah. If you want touchdowns, come to this meeting. I promise if it affects one player or gives you a different thought on one play, it helps us get one touchdown, it's worth it.
What does Dallas do? What do they present that you really have to focus on this week?
You know, I think that Dallas, they play fast. They play really hard. They're not, an overly complex defense. They have their scheme, and, they only do a few different schemes, but they do it really, really well. Everybody knows their assignments. They're not going to have mistakes. They're not going to have busting coverage. You know, they're very sound in what they do, and they can play it fast and play it very well. And so, we have to be very sound in our assignments. So we have to understand, what the tips are for what they're doing so we can understand, what their line movements will be, what their coverages will be, how we need to adjust, our routes and our plays based on that. So, we have to be perfect in our assignments to be successful.
What does it mean for the running game to see Rashard Jennings come back last week? And this week you expect them to be better, obviously. But in terms of some of those, you talked about a few weeks ago, those second and longs and shortening those and better third downs. I mean, what does that mean to the running game?
Yeah, hopefully improves the running game. The last time we played the Cowboys, we got stuck in a lot of third and long situations. We got to find ways to get better production first and second down in the run game. That should improve the third down conversions and give you more reps, more opportunities to run the ball more, play action. It should help the offense. So it's good having Rashard back for the run game. He's also great in the passing game. And so hopefully this keeps us in good rhythm, keeps us in good down and distance.
All right, Eli, we're out of time. We want to appreciate you for stopping by. You and your family have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
When we come back, our online segment, Pat Hanlon will join me along with Kim Jones and Steve Cohen as we continue with Giants First and 10 after this. Welcome back to Giants First and 10. We get you set for the Giants and Cowboys Sunday Night Football. Time to put item number 8 up on the board as we give you the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Cowboys, our online segment. Senior VP of Communications Pat Hanlon is with us. Kim Jones from WFAN and NFL Network. And Steve Cohen, the VP of Sports for SiriusXM Radio. All right, you ready to go here, buddy?
Where's Neil Best?
Good question.
It's like old home week.
It's like old home week. Well, how do the Giants stop this Cowboy run game? Because this defense is 32nd in the league against the run.
Exactly, and they're going up against the number 2 rush offense in the league, of course, and they've really got to play 8 men in the box. They got to stack the line. They got to rely on their cornerbacks to shut down, Bryan on one side and Williams on the other. But they've got to bring that 8th man up to the box and concentrate first and foremost on stopping DeMarco Murray.
I do wonder if you see a more aggressive Giants defense this time around than we did in Arlington. It was after that game that you kind of started to hear this defense and offense, but in this case, the defense needs to be more aggressive. Tony Romo was able to pick them apart, and he was on that day. Jerry Jones said it was the best game Romo ever played, but he was on. He hit Dez for some big plays, but this defense, you would think, learned something from that timeout, right?
It's one thing to be aggressive. It's another thing to be sound and aggressive. And as we found out, when we're not sound, we don't stop the run, which happened a couple weeks ago. We got better this past week. And so, yeah, you got to be aggressive, but you got to be sound.
We've seen Eli have some of these games where he was just off last week, let's face it. But he usually bounces back pretty well.
He does, and that's the beauty of Eli Manning since 2004 in this town. He has the perfect temperament for dealing with this area, this media, this situation, as
yes.
Pat knows, all the time. I mean, that is the one, to me, underplayed part of Eli's game. It doesn't take away the 5 interceptions. It doesn't take away the fact that he cost his team the game with some of those decisions. But you mentioned bouncing back. I mean, I do think there's a confidence that he always does.
I think Eli needs his safety valve, like Rashard Jennings, to be less rusty this week, catch some more passes out of the backfield, be able to dump the ball off. And they missed the outside speed from a running back catching the ball, and hopefully Jennings can help with that this week. Here's the other thing about Eli. When you guys ask him this week, do you approach it any differently after you come off of a 5 interception game? And he says, no, he's not telling the truth. Some guys, like his brother, wear their intensity on their sleeve.
He doesn't, but he's equally intense, and he does knuckle down after a game like last week.
Ken, how did we get to this point? Because I don't think anybody saw the Giants at 3-7.
I think it's a great question, and I go back to the...
I want a great answer.
I can't promise that, but I go back to the opener at Detroit when you saw a team that couldn't cover, couldn't execute offensively, couldn't do anything against what we now know is a really good Detroit Lions team. But they've never been able to right this in any capacity. I bought in after the three wins in a row, I admit that. But really, they followed it with just a disastrous stretch here. This team has never, ever gotten on track.
Well, we were on track.
But got off very quickly. But
right.
Got off track very quickly and dramatically.
We did get on track.
Last year, their defense, what did they finish, eighth or something like that? Mm-hmm. And considering that they led the league in turnovers and that the opposing team was always starting on their half of the field, their defense was even better than eighth last year. But this year, I mean, we saw it start in the preseason. They always said, well, we're going to get it fixed. It never got fixed.
And the missed assignments. I mean, Seattle will speak to that as well as any game you'll ever see. The missed assignments, the lack of execution, the guys not knowing, do I have the dive? Do I have to watch Russell Wilson? What is my responsibility? And you saw them largely clean it up in a week's time.
Yes.
So that tells me they are capable.
Yes.
Why they're not executing, I think, is a much more complicated answer.
I agree.
That probably goes to all areas of this organization, including the locker room.
Right now, you just got to buckle down on the league's best running back. Start there. The offense is going to be able to move the football against the Cowboys, Bob. You got to get that offense off the field. I mean, third down conversions, 51%. The Cowboys are converting on third downs. That's a really high number.
It's because they can run it.
Yeah, it really does come down to that. But didn't you think, though, we talked about the three-game winning streak. We know about their opponent's record in that three-game winning streak. But they handled J.J. Watt. And they've made some of these other defensive fronts look like they have eight J.J. Watts.
And we always talk about the rush defense, and for good reason. They're last in the league, as you noted. But the run offense has just never found a rhythm. Did Jennings miss time? Of course he did. A rookie steps in who I think the Giants believe is very capable, but maybe not yet.
Right.
And an offensive line that is trying to mesh together. And they've never been able to impose their will. Why is Tony Romo a better quarterback? They run the ball half the time. Yeah. That helps any quarterback, and it takes some pressure off.
And their offensive line gets pushed.
Absolutely.
The Giant offensive line is not pushing the defense back.
All right, predictions for this week. Prime time.
This is a game the Giants should have won in Dallas. I have to think, though, coming off the bye, the Cowboys are ready to make a stand in their remaining games. I think Dallas probably wins it, 27-21.
I was going to go 27-24. I'll stay with it with the Cowboys. I think it's going to be a real competitive game, Bob.
I like the way that the Raider fan over here can chuckle when he's making predictions about our games.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Stevie.
Thank God for fantasy football.
Yep.
But still to come in the program, we're going to take a look at the Giants-Cowboys rivalry, and we'll have our Big Blue Challenge as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG after this.
They lost the football game.
And you can't commit penalties, and you went well over. So that's a false start.
Eli, I believe he will bounce right back like he's done so many times.
Catches against the Eagles.
The greatest call in special teams history.
With the
one
Giants.
Word. Arapahoe.
I'm not doing this, to torture you. I'm just trying to get you touchdowns.
As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, that was the Geico Show recap. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. Visit geico.com. Giants and Cowboys Sunday night, MetLife Stadium. Item number 9 goes up on the board as we dial into the Giants-Cowboys rivalry. Week 17 of the 2004 season, Eli Manning would get his first taste of the intense rivalry between the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys.
Play fast. Everything's going to work out. All right, come on. We got to win.
Manning's fourth touchdown pass of the season put New York up early. But Dallas stormed back to take a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Testaverde, handoff Jones, runs left, touchdown Julius Jones. And the Cowboys regain the lead.
And with time running out, Eli marched the team down the field to set up the winning score, giving him his first victory as the Giants' starting quarterback.
Up to the 40, 45 midfield, into Cowboy territory and tackled at the 44-yard line. 16 seconds to go. Giants out of timeout. Manning takes the snap, drops back, gives for Barber, running left, touchdown Giants! Barber from 3 yards!
3 years later in the 2007 NFC Divisional Playoff, New York once again raced out to an early lead.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Swings one left. Wide open Hubert at the Cowboy 40. Sheds a tackle. Down the left sideline. 30. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Amani Toomer!
But this time it would be up to the defense to seal the victory in the final seconds.
Here we go, 4th and 11 at the Giants 23, 16 seconds to go. Giants leading by 4. Romo takes the snap, back to throw, has time to the end zone, intercepted by the Giants! Intercepted by the Giants in the end zone, R.W. McCorders.
Two years later in 2009, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones would unveil his massive prototype of modern-day arenas as the Giants traveled to Dallas for the first ever game at the Cowboys' new stadium. And Big Blue would spoil the grand opening.
Lobbed one right to the sideline, sliding catch and drop Manningham, then he caught it again, touchdown! And the New York Giants have defeated the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys lost the final game in Texas Stadium, and they lose the first game in Cowboys Stadium.
In week 14 of 2011, New York would have its backs against the wall, needing a desperate win in Dallas to keep their playoff hopes alive.
It was a must-win game, you know. It was a team in our division. We need to win, and I'll do what it takes to win. And I told my teammates that, and that's what I did.
Now Dan Bailey will try to tie this up with a 47-yarder from the left half with 6 seconds to go.
What a game.
Snap is good again. Kick on its way, and it's blocked! Blocked by the Giants, and it bounds into the end zone and through the back of the end zone, and the Giants will win it! And the New York Giants have saved their season as they come to Dallas and defeated the Cowboys.
3 weeks later, the scene would shift to MetLife Stadium, but the stakes were the same. With the NFC East title and a playoff berth on the line, the Giants and Cowboys would clash in the final game of the regular season.
Takes the snap, they roll it left, he throws it left, Cruz has got it, down the left side, and he goes across midfield to the 40.
And en route to their fourth Super Bowl championship, the Giants blaze to the finish line.
Touchdown, Victor Cruz! 74 yards, and he's done it again!
And once again, the defense would secure the victory.
Romo back to throw under pressure, rolls right now, sacked by Tuck, fumbles the football! And the Giants have it! And that's your ball game! And they're celebrating in the aisles at MetLife Stadium. The New York Giants are the NFC East champions.
Congratulations to the NFC East champions. Yes,
sir. A look at the most recent Giants-Cowboys rivalry. And, guys, every time you see that Cowboys star, I got to think it gets the juices flowing a little bit.
Well, you know, it really doesn't matter what has happened in the past. When the Giants are playing the Dallas Cowboys, it's like, you know, everybody's ready to go. Even us as former players, we're ready to suit up.
Yeah, you definitely feel the juices when it's Cowboys week. I know Redskins and Cowboys are like a traditional rival, but this is probably one of the more underrated, I think, rivals in the NFL.
Well, I think it's something about the Cowboys. They want to bring out the best in everyone. They are progressive, state-of-the-art this, and they just happen to be a good football team, too.
Yeah, is part of the reason, guys, because, you know, they had all that success in the 60s, the late 60s, and then throughout the 70s. I mean, they were kind of the team to beat, weren't they?
You know, I think it sort of stems from the whole America's team sort of theme with this team, that everybody wants to beat them because they consider themselves America's team. Like, no one else really matters. And so everybody else, you know, they sort of have a chip on their shoulders when they play against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, guys, when the Giants and Cowboys play on Sunday Night Football, they get record ratings.
The world pays attention.
The proof is in the pudding. Yeah, yeah. So another installment of the Giants and Cowboys on Sunday night at MetLife Stadium. All right, time for item number 10. We call this our Big Blue Challenge. And, gentlemen, The point totals this year are a little on the shaky side. I mean, Banks has the lead, 21 points to 19. Roman, you have 14 this year. So we're going to hand out the grades from last week. All right, you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Time for the grades for last week. All right, Harry, you said in order for the Giants to be successful, an area that they had to win at was the defensive line and Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, they limited San Francisco offensively. I mean, they held them to a bunch of field goals. Jason Pierre-Paul, no sacks, no real hits on the quarterback. So it's worthy of a point for this week. Oh. You got a point for that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. So Harry's season total now stands at 20 with his 1 point. We are limping along here in our Big Blue Challenge. Carl Banks, you said the Giants have to run the ball better. They need the running backs to perform. Rashad Jennings came back. He moved the chains a little bit, but there's nothing here that has any kind of impact of any sort of note.
Don't
so
okay.
You got 1 point.
I was going to say no change.
You got 1 point for 22. You know, he did suit up. He's coming off an injury. I give him credit for that. And Roman, you sort of had the same thing as Harry, the front seven. Jason Pierre-Paul, Matthias.
I'm still on the kiddie table, man. I got to get off the chicken tenders and start eating steaks.
Well, you better do something. We're going to have to change our point structure.
Over there.
So Roman continues to limp along. So 1 point for each of you. Nothing changes in our standings. All right, you got your pens out? You ready for this week?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's this week's question. The question for this week in the Big Blue Challenge is this. Which position player has to be stopped the most by the Giants? In other words, which one do they really have to shut down? Is it Tony Romo, not letting him throw for close to 300 yards, high percentage, a bunch of touchdowns? Is it shutting down the running game in DeMarco Murray? Is it shutting down Dez Bryant? He had 158 yards against the Giants in the last meeting. Or is it controlling the tight ends? And the reason why I say that, Jason Witten has always had big games against the Giants, and Gavin Escobar, he's got 3 touchdowns this year. 2 came in the Giants game. Right. Most of his catches and yards came in that one game. So which one of those 4 areas is most important for the Giants' control defensively in order to win this football game? All right?
Okay.
Have you drawn it up there, Banksy?
Okay.
Okay, there's your selection and our Big Blue Challenge chalice. Roman has dropped his card. We'll pick it up in just a bit. We don't have any stage hands on hand. Banks still has the lead. We are out of time. We'll see how our results shape up in next week's Big Blue Challenge and Giants First and 10. For our entire crew, for Harry, Carl, Roman, Anita, Paul Dottino, we want to thank you for joining us. We want to wish you and your family a very healthy and happy Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. We'll see you again next week right here on MSG for another edition of Giants First and 10.